Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, if you're old school like me and you have like a desktop computer, you can go to www.guardiantalkradio.com and you can click the live stream button and you can listen to the show on your computer if you're not in the car listening to it on the radio. And if you have a mobile device, you can go to the TuneIn app in the App Store or Play Store and download that and listen to Guardian Radio all day. But of course, we love having you with us in the evenings on Wednesday to listen to The Blank Canvas. This evening, I have a visitor, an international visitor in the studio with me tonight. We are about to open a show tomorrow night at the National Art Gallery. As I always say on the air, everyone is invited, the entire Bahamian public. These are not private events. You don't have to wait for an invitation to come into your mailbox. It is open to everyone from 7 to 10. We love to see everyone from the neighborhood, from wherever, so please come out. We're in fact opening two shows. One is entitled Traversing the Picturesque, which is a study of how expatriate painters formalize the landscape and how we look at our landscape in ourselves. That's a historical show with works from local collections mostly. But then we also are opening a show in the ballroom entitled We Suffer to Remain. That show is supported by the British Council, who have been assisting the artist with taking this work to various places. And we have the artist in the studio with us tonight. His name is Graham Fagan. Welcome, Graham, to The Blank Canvas.
Thank you very much, Amanda. It's great to be here.
Yeah, and welcome to the Bahamas.
Yeah, first time.
Woohoo! So far, we've only had a half a day, so I can't ask him too much about his impressions. Maybe later. So, Graham, I'll give the audience a little bit of background. If you can't tell from his accent, he is a Scottish artist living and working in Glasgow, Scotland. And he has exhibited widely and internationally at a lot of these major art events that we call biennales, one in Venice, which is probably the most prestigious, where he... Oh, I saw you were there in 2003 and then also in 2015. In 2015, Graham represented Scotland. So at the Venice Biennale, they have these international pavilions and the countries select an artist or sometimes artists to represent the country. And Graham, you were selected to represent Scotland. How did that feel? That must have been pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was great. It was, I suppose, an honour to have been selected, but I suppose a bit daunting as well because, in a sense, you're not just exhibiting your own work, you're exhibiting your own work under the banner of the name of the country that you live in as well. So mm-hmm. It comes with a bit of
pressure,
prestige and a bit of pressure as well.
Yeah, well, I always tell people who are not familiar with the Venice Biennale, I always say it's the Olympics of the art world. Basically, it's sort of a similar thing. Like, you're selected, you're considered the best of what you do, and you're out there sort of waving the flag.
So yeah, I think that's a good way of looking at it. And the thing that's interesting about it is lots of the countries from all over the world send an artist or artists to represent mm-hmm. them. And I think the thing that's interesting about it as well is you don't necessarily need to come from that country mm-hmm. to be exhibiting with that country. So that's quite an interesting part.
Yeah, that's true. I know the British Pavilion started showing a lot of people from other places, and the German Pavilion did that too.
Yeah.
As the world becomes more globalized. You've also exhibited at the Busan Biennale, which is, of course, in South Korea, at the Victoria and Albert Museum in London, at Tate Britain, the Institute of Contemporary Arts, the Imperial War Museum, which I think is really actually very, very interesting that you exhibited there. So, you know, I know that, you know, from working in the art world and certainly from living here, it's an issue we have living on a tiny island. But even when you live somewhere outside of the major, you know, what are considered by the art world, I guess, the major art production centers, so say like London, Berlin, New York, it's always like people feel a little bit, you know, like they don't get enough attention or it's harder for them. And how was it to become, you know, an artist in Scotland? Does Scotland I can't even say it's a nation, is it? Because it's part of the UK for the time being.
Is it a nation?
I don't know. Like, that's just how totally ignorant I am. I mean, you got your own flag, you got your own money, but you're part of the United Kingdom. So it's amazing. Is it a bit like being Puerto Rico?
We've got our own legal system and we have a devolved parliament.
So you are. Yeah.
And we became part of the union with England in 1707. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we've been part of the United Kingdom since then.
Yeah.
But there's been a few devolution votes recently.
Yeah, no, I saw. Well, yeah, you wanted to become completely independent. Yeah, so yeah, it's kind of. It's funny. I've never really thought about that idea of the political aspect of it because, you know, you know, it's just one island. So you really are separate but together.
It's one island with Scotland, England, yeah. Northern Ireland, yeah. and Wales. So Wales, it's one yeah. island yeah. with four countries in the one island.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is kind of a weird setup in a way when you think about it. I mean, so I guess it's like being the European Union somehow.
Yes.
But you still have the Queens, like we do here, which is, you know, but we're Commonwealth. So
yeah,
it's a sort of weird setup here, too. Like, we our highest form of, like, if we have a death penalty case or whatever, the highest court ruling would be the Privy Council in the UK, in London, which is kind of strange because you figure that people over there are making decisions about people that they probably...
Yeah.
Don't have much connection
yeah.
to.
Yeah, so there's legal tie-ins, I guess, with here as well. Yeah, no, it's strange. Scottish law is different from English law, mm-hmm. and lawyers in one or the other country need to train in the, mm-hmm. the proper law mm-hmm. for whatever country they're practicing their law in.
I guess it must be a little bit like being Puerto Rican in a way, kind of. Like, you're part of America, but you're not part of America. And so the art scene, I know that recently in the last, I don't know, I'd say 10 years, it's become like super interesting and a big player. But previous to that, maybe not, or maybe 15 years, I can't really think. What I'm thinking about, the scene in Glasgow has really grown, and a lot of galleries now represented worldwide that you didn't see when I was young. When I was a young thing, you didn't see like a lot of galleries from Scotland. Has that been something that's helped you kind of further yourself in the international arena? Or
I think the short answer is I'm not sure and I don't really know. But I think the thing that's interesting, I suppose, is, I mean, I lived in Glasgow and I went to Glasgow School of Art, and Glasgow was kind of the industrial ugly city, mm-hmm. ugly sister of Edinburgh, which, mm-hmm. you know, was a bit more sophisticated, or is a bit more sophisticated than Glasgow. So, mm-hmm. And one of the things, I suppose, Glasgow as a city consciously looked on to develop the city beyond its industrial decline was culture. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Glasgow was European City of Culture back in 1990, I think mm-hmm. it was. So that was just after I finished art school at Glasgow. So that there was this a developing consciousness, mm-hmm. if you like, within the city, both formally through what the city council was mm-hmm. actually doing, and I suppose maybe more informally through the artists who were graduating from the art school and the kind of networks that these artists were starting to establish. And I went to Canterbury in England to do my master's, mm-hmm. so I was away from Glasgow for that period of time, I suppose, early 90s up to late 90s, when a lot of that cultural development mm-hmm. was taking shape and form. I was down south in England, and I suppose that's when I started working with the gallery that I work with mm-hmm. just now, which is called Matt's Gallery.
Yeah, I've visited Matt's Gallery. Yeah.
Which is really well known, well known gallery. And so my first London solo show was with Matt's Gallery mm-hmm. back in 1998. So I suppose I kind of developed my career from Glasgow mm-hmm. and then beyond Glasgow mm-hmm. And then went back to Glasgow to live. And I suppose mm-hmm. in that period of time, that 10 years or so, I suppose a lot of my peers, artists like Douglas Gordon, who mm-hmm. was in the same year as me at Glasgow School of Art, his career was developing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other of our peer group mm-hmm. Were starting to get some international mm-hmm. success. Mm-hmm.
So do you think, I think one of the things we have here, like we have a few very well-known Bahamian artists functioning internationally now, but they've always had to go somewhere else, right, to really become known by curators, to get put into international shows. Do you think that move to the South, as you put it, had something to do with that? Do you think if you would have stayed, because you know it's always a sort of struggle for Bahamian artists, it's like, right, do I stay home and interact with my community and work here and stay home, but make that sort of sacrifice in a way that, and of course it's different for us, and it's not like Scotland's like an island off in the middle of the ocean, but there's still that sense of, right, you know, everything happens somewhere else, everything happens in London and New York. Do you think that was a sort of necessary move for you?
Yeah, I think at that time I think that was the necessary move in order to get in touch and to exhibit or to get to know galleries who had an international reputation, and mm-hmm. There was no private or commercial galleries in Scotland at that time.
At that time, exactly,
And I suppose, again, since then, that's something that's developed in Scotland. Scotland's now got private galleries that would maybe take artists' work who are maybe living in Scotland, but they would maybe take their work to international art fairs.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a way now to live in Scotland and have your work introduced to an international audience. Whereas I suppose when I was going through the early stages of my career, that opportunity just wasn't there. So you had to leave.
You had to go to a foreign.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think that's kind of the thing is that, you know, for us, and I think for a lot of people living, and, you know, and even in the United States, you know, artists in, I don't know, you know, Iowa, you know, they feel they have to move to New York or to Los Angeles. And I suppose, you know, when you're a whole country like we are, it's like, how do we create, you know, what's happened in Scotland, that we grow some commercial galleries so we can, you know, have people not leave.
Yeah. I think maybe another thing that was important to that kind of peer group development that I was talking about was, sure, there was a recognition, there was an acknowledgement that there was an international art scene, but we didn't think that what we were doing in our place was anything of lesser value. If anything, we were determined to show that international art scene a bit of our attitude and a bit of our thought and opinion. And I think that's really important. I think, and generally, I think that's very important for an artist from wherever they come from.
Yeah.
You don't go somewhere to be like them.
To show them what you can do.
To show them who you are.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and I'm always, you know, we try to support a lot of work going abroad and international shows because, again, I always say that I think the artists working here operating absolutely at an international level, if not beyond, and you just have to get them into that conversation so people say, oh wow, yeah, you're right, you know, it's not just you down there thinking that, but it's a real thing. So again, that's something that we're working on very hard. But you moved back to Glasgow, so that's got to be nice.
Yeah,
when it's not snowing.
I left snowy Glasgow to come here today, actually. Yeah, no, I moved back to Glasgow, I think 1995, and I got a part-time teaching job at Duncan of Jordanston College of Art and Design in Dundee, and I've still got that part-time job there, so I'm a professor of fine art at that institution.
Moulding young minds.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. I mean, I feel very privileged because I think my old mind gets kept alive by the great privilege of meeting and speaking to other artists in the days that I'm in Dundee, to hear their thought and to hear their opinion. I think, again, a bit like what I was saying earlier about the important thing about art is it's not where you are, it's who you are. What is it you want to share? What is it you want your voice to be about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed wholeheartedly. So, anyhow. Well, again, lots of people, when I say I'm from the Bahamas, they also ask me if it's its own country, so don't be offended that I wasn't totally sure.
I'm outraged.
I know. Outraged. Or they think we're part of America very often. That happens too. And I've even met some people that think we're actually somehow attached to Florida, and I'm like, yeah, no, not really. Mm. So that happens. So, yeah, apologies. Yeah, I'm going to hang my head in shame now. Anyhow, we're going to go to a quick break. I'm speaking here with Graham Fagan, who is a Scottish artist living and working in Glasgow, and we're opening a show tomorrow night at the National Art Gallery entitled We Suffer to Remain, which is a show with one of Graham's work in it, which we'll speak about after the break. And we asked Bahamian artists to respond to that artwork. In a couple of weeks, I'll have those artists on the show, so you can hear from them. And we would really love you to come out tomorrow night, Thursday night, Thursday, March 22nd, from 7 to 10 at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. Our openings are always open to the public, and we'd love to see you and share with you some of Graham's work and the work of John Beadle, Sonia Farmer, and Anina Major. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.